What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos on Westwood One Sports.
Mike Tirico last week on NBC as the Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Baltimore Ravens to win the AFC North. Our friend Dave Damashek will join us in just a moment. Celebrity fan of the Pittsburgh Steelers ahead of the Steelers Monday Night Football game tonight against the Houston Texans. Shek will join us to talk the Texans and the Steelers and the rest of what we saw on Wild Card Weekend in the NFL. Very much look forward to that. Our friend Joe Fortenbaugh will join us coming up next hour on the show. ESPN sports betting analyst. Joe, one of the best in the business, will get his bets for tonight with the Steelers and the Texans and his early thoughts on the divisional rounds of the NFL. All of my bets, side total and props for the divisional rounds in the air, or for tonight with the Steelers and Texans, coming up to close the show in the final hour, the Power Hour. What's happening off air right now is I mean, this should be something that should be, like, we should put this on YouTube as a YouTube short. As our friend Dave Damashek, who I think is, I don't know, maybe like 60, it's kind of old, definitely older than me, is trying to figure out technology in order to get on the air right now. Mike, do we have Dave Damashek here with us right now? I can see him off air. Shek, can you hear me?
I can hear you, you bum. Oh, I'm not 60.
And you sound great. 60. The microphone is correct. I absolutely love it.
What a bum. How are you, fella? Listen, don't you see I'm living my best life right now? Don't you see that my teams have combined to barely lose a single game so far in this calendar year? The only thing bringing me down is you. Let me just tell your audience how you operate. You're like a second-rate family-run restaurant. And let me just tell the interaction I had with your hero, Costos, last night. He said, "Hey, Dave, can you jump in on the show tomorrow to talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers? You're a big Steelers fan. What time would be good for you? We got a big 3-6-hour window. I now run all the I now run digital sports media. I'm the king of all wagertainment. So you call your shot and we'll make it so." And I said, "Well, listen, I'm on the West Coast. I'm 3 hours behind you. How about, you know, since you're on all day, what about nice and breezy 8 a.m. Pacific Coast time?" And he said, "Well, that's not available. How about instead we do the time I want you to use." I'm like, "Well, then why'd you even offer me, though? Why'd you give me a ray of a..." I once went to a restaurant and the guy comes to the table and he's like, "What do you want, sir? Do you want the veal or the chicken?" And I said, the chicken, I think, tonight." And he said, "We don't have chicken tonight. Veal it is." I'm like, "What are you even offering me?" The other, like, would choose your time. Like, "Well, the only time I have available for you is right now." Anyway, all right. Good to see you. And most importantly, mazel tov on this new gig. I'm over the moon for you, fella. Nobody deserves it in this business more than you do.
I love how just everyone apparently sounds like the bartender at the Copacabana from Goodfellas. Like, we all just sound like those stereotypical Italians or Mediterraneans, possibly imaginable.
"What time do you want to come on to my show?"
"Yeah, you come on at, you know, at the 7:20 Pacific time," which you did, and now it's 7:27 a.m. Pacific time. Dave Damashek is our guest. Dave's show is sensational. I've been on it a number of times. Football America for our friends at Meadowlark Media. You can subscribe to his YouTube page, youtube.com/@footballamericashow. And he is on social media at Damashek. Shek, we'll talk about your Pittsburgh Steelers. You are a Yinzer, a celebrity Pittsburgh sports fan. We'll get to the Steelers and the Texans in a little bit. But your biggest story coming out of the games we saw this weekend, Wild Card Weekend and the NFL, is what and why?
It definitely is the ongoing. I mean, the sad thing is obviously the ongoing Justin Herbert in January story. But vainly or otherwise, I have to focus in on something that I foretold really not just all this season, but for the last few seasons, which is that, you know, you can get into the advanced analytics if you want to. But to me, they're two pretty simple things to observe and should guide you next late December as you're trying to assess who's going to the Super Bowl. One, for all of our obsession with name brand guys, and I'm guilty of that as I just invoke the name Justin Herbert, but poor Josh Allen, is he ever going to get his? And Lamar Jackson and all those guys, and Rich Eisen saying, like, boy, these playoffs are going to stink without Patrick Mahomes. You're going to miss him without him being there. We react as a football-loving society to, like I say, the brand names, and Josh Allen reminded us of what the difference of having a superhero at the position can make. Against the Jags on Sunday. But the facts are these. The window to go to the Super Bowl, whether you like it or not, is when you have a quarterback who is the real deal, but he's still on his rookie contract, which is to say, I mean, no rookie quarterback has ever gone to the Super Bowl, although Jaden Daniels has gotten close. And that's a nice little side story to answer your question, too. How about the 2024 QB draft class? Is it already entered into the conversation as the best ever? Really think it through. Jaden Daniels is a non-factor this year, but he almost went to a Super Bowl last year. Meantime, three of his pals are into the divisional round as we speak here. But seasons 2 through 6 is the sweet spot for teams with for the quarterback. Those teams go to the Super Bowl and win it way more than any other window you can point to. Seasons 2 through 6, 14 of the last 26 Super Bowls have been won by quarterbacks in that window. Outside, that's in the age of Brady and Peyton, mind you. I'm accounting for those guys, and even still, 14 of 26 is nothing to turn your nose up at. And the other one is, obviously, in the age of coin flip games, playing one less is everything. And so the teams with the bye are the teams to look at. The Denver Broncos remain my choice out of the AFC, largely because those two factors that I just cited for you are favoring the Denver Broncos. Bo Nix in year two and the rest of it. And I think he's going to end up playing his pal Drake May for a trip to the Super Bowl, much like Peyton and Brady did a generation ago. Fun stuff.
Wow, I like, yeah, so we've got a Patriots-Broncos AFC championship game. I like Buffalo in the AFC because I think they've got the best quarterback, but we will see coming up next week the Bills at the Denver Broncos. You know, I haven't gotten to Sheck, and you bet on this Monday. Dave Damashek, our guest from Meadowlark Media. Football America is his show. You should subscribe to it on YouTube. I've been on it. I'm biased. I think the show is great. I haven't talked about the Patriots-Chargers game yet on the show, and because you use the word sad to describe Justin Herbert and the way I think the discourse is going to be about Herbert. I don't think it's sad. I don't think he sucks. He doesn't suck. He's really good, and a lot of teams in the NFL would love to have him. But we don't have to make excuses for him, Sheck. Like, we can tell the truth, and it doesn't have to be sad. He was horrific last night. He was terrible. He did nothing to help his team potentially win the game. I don't care that he doesn't have his offensive lineman. I don't care that they're probably going to fire the offensive coordinator, Greg Roman. Why is it sad what happened to Justin Herbert? He was bad. That's the end. That's it. Period. End of story.
There's something about the quality of the hits and his physical reaction to them. I mean, it seemed late in the fourth quarter, every time he went down, it seemed like he may or may not get back up again. The way he was prone and just completely just about lifeless after every time. Oh, so, God,
come on. I don't want to listen. I'm just going to say this because I know Sheck is a football historian here. Like, I will invoke the name of my favorite quarterback of all time. I'm a Giants fan, Eli Manning, who got the absolute crap kicked out of him in the 2011 NFC Championship game at Candlestick by Justin Smith and the Niners. Like, that's just one example. Like, I'm just...
Not Jeff Hostetler. Not
well, Hostetler got the crap kicked out of him by the Buffalo Bills in Super Bowl 25, and by the Niners also in the NFC Championship game. Just like, why do we have to do... Like, I'm being serious. Herbert's great. I'm not saying he's bad, but why do we have to make these excuses for Justin Herbert? Like, oh, he got hit up. What quarterback doesn't get hit? He stinks in these big spots, right?
You were going to get no argument from me, Pally. I'm just making the observation that it was he did seem to be hung out to dry a little bit by the football gods more than by the Chargers organization. I mean, he just had no offensive line. I thought that the Chargers had a chance to survive because of exactly that. The one thing the Patriots haven't shown an ability to do this season is to really consistently heat the QB up. And so that's why I thought the Chargers had a real puncher's chance going into Foxborough. But the big picture that you're getting at, of course, you're, I while I respect advanced analytics and people who find sports and football because of a passion for math and analyzing the numbers, and I mean that sincerely, however you come to love the sport, if it's because you love the pageantry and that's what lured you in, whatever it is. But the math people, well-intentioned though they are, get in the way of the drama of what we're watching right now. They want to inadvertently convince you that what all this amounts to is this tournament, the sample sizes are too small to be able to read anything into them and how that impacts how we should regard their overall career. And Justin Herbert is the perfect example of exactly that. Look at the advanced numbers and how great he is and what he's been able to do. It doesn't make a difference, and it doesn't have to, you don't have to think it's fair or otherwise. This is how history is written. Who comes through in these limited big spots, severe or otherwise, are the enduring legends of the sport. So if you don't do it, and at this point, it's starting to look like Justin Herbert may not ever do it. And by the way, guess what? Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen may never get theirs either. And that goes for Joe Burrow too. Again, people get into this weird sort of, I'm with you too, and I'm not trying to take a hard right turn to be agreeable with you. I mostly agree with exactly what you're saying, that that this weird need for empathy about, like, poor guy, he deserves a better situation, has led us into this place where we're ignoring, like, where we just have to declare to let them off the hook. Don't worry about Lamar Jackson. He'll eventually get a Super Bowl. Will he? The math doesn't work out for all of these high-end QBs to win Lombardis, because you know why, Nick? It's because they give out one a year. They don't give out multiple. They only give out one a year. So the math does not allow for Burrow, Allen, Lamar, Patrick Mahomes. You think he's ever going to get another one? If you do, then that takes one away from all the other available guys who would like to get theirs. And CJ Stroud and Bo Nix and Brock Purdy, there just are not enough Lombardis to go around. So I'm with you, feeling sad for these guys. Like, I don't know if he's ever going to get his. Yeah, guess what? He's going to have company. And that's a good thing, because I hear that's what misery likes.
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, misery absolutely loves it. Perhaps, check. I hope this is not the case, because I'm betting on your team and I think they're going to win tonight.
I know you are. Why am I such a curmudgeon about this? Everybody I've talked to is on your side.
Well, I would say, like, let's say the Steelers were a 3-point favorite and the Texans are a 3-point road favorite tonight at BetMGM. Like, I wouldn't bet the Steelers laying 3, but they're a 3-point home dog and the Texans offensive line stinks and I don't trust the Texans offense. So look, no matter what happens in the game, like, Houston can win 17-0. I think it's a pretty easy button to click and I live with whatever the result is. Sounds like you're a little more pessimistic. In about 90 seconds, tell me how you see the game playing out tonight with your Steelers hosting the Texans.
Agree with what you said. I think a few days ago, the hook spooks me if you're on the Texan side of things. But, you know, yes, if you hyper focus on, to your point, the Texans, the pass rush and everything else, it's pretty simple math. If you've watched Aaron Rodgers, you don't even have to go back through the entire season. But just look at the last few weeks. Why did they thrive against the Lions, but not against the Browns? But then again without DK Metcalf against the Ravens. Pass rush. Aaron Rodgers is a 42-year-old man. He's aware of his mortality. His priority, whether he is lucid about it or not, is not taking big-time shots. He's looking to avoid those. The Texans do that better than anyone. That scares me. Now, turn it the other way, though, and to your point. The Texans have a terrible offensive line. C.J. Stroud is in a real big spot career-wise. He needs to get the stink off himself as well, and that amounts to a certain amount of pressure on Houston. So I think my favorite play of the night is the under here. I'm ultimately going to ride with the Steelers. I don't care if they win, you know, 5-3 or 51-50. Just survive.
That won't be the final score.
Let's go up the
5-3.
You don't think
so? I think 5-3 is more likely than 51-50.
More likely. That's where, see, that's now right at the end there. See, where we park our cars in the same garage.
Shaq, you're the best. Football America is a sensational NFL show. Football America Show on YouTube is where you can find it as part of Meadowlark Media, and follow Dave on Twitter at Damashek. Good luck to your
Look
Steelers
how we saved
tonight,
the day,
my friend.
Right at the, thank you so much, Pally, and I appreciate the optimistic sort of words that you're floating out into the world there. Save a little bit for the Indiana Hoosiers in the national championship game.
They
and
won't
thank goodness
it.
Technology didn't completely let us down here. See, we made it work at the last second.
I absolutely love it.
I'll have the
it.
Veal. Yeah, there's no veal. No veal.
There's no veal.
The chicken it is.
There's a great, if you ever watch the show Fawlty Towers, there's a great line. If you don't like duck, you're rather stuck. One of the great British sitcoms of all time on the BBC. Shout out to the great John Cleese. Shaq, appreciate the time. We will catch up with you in the near future. On the other side here on You Better, You Bet on this magnificent football Monday. And don't worry, we will get back to all things Wild Card Weekend. Joe Fortenbaugh will join us next hour. All my bets for the Steelers and Texans tonight will close the show. We're going to play some of the best sound for you from the weekend that was as our friend Kenny Henderson takes center stage. Kenny's Corner, coming up next on a Monday on Westwood One Sports.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.